I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Got a lot to do as we come to you live inside our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here. All-star break is upon us. You got the Derby tonight. Should get some resolution with the Manny Machado sweepstakes. Could happen in the next couple of days. Inbounds, out of bounds, a little World Cup. Tiki, what's going on, buddy?
I got my eye on Pittsburgh.
From Machado?
Is, no.
Oh, Bell.
Is Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I got to take a little bit of football. There's nothing going on in the world right now other than the World Cup. Whether or not he is going to get his deal done, or will he play another year on the franchise?
What's your guess? Compromise?
It's so messed up, BT. Because remember, we had him with the Super Bowl,
yeah,
and we were talking about how excited he was. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Yeah, I want to play for this. I'm going to do this." And then as he's walking out the door, we joke with him like, "Dude, you're going to be on the franchise next year."
I remember that.
And he's like, "No, don't wish that upon me." I think that's going to happen. I think he's going to end up playing another year on the franchise tag.
All right.
It sucks for him, but it is what it is.
We will get to that for sure. Let's start with a little World Cup, though. You know, I tell you, when right around, I'd say about a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, when, you know, the teams that had no shot to win were bounced for the most part. You got a little clarity with the World Cup here. It came up on the show. What really needs to happen for me to really get engaged with soccer? And tell you what. Yesterday was pretty close. I need some scoring,
yep.
Right?
Got it.
I need some controversy.
Got it.
Why don't we go to the video with the hand goal? For the first time ever. That there was maybe, arguably, the best goal of the tournament that was scored here. This was pretty good.
Yeah,
This was pretty good yesterday.
It was entertaining. And you know what? If the soccer that we saw yesterday is like the soccer you see usually in the last 10 minutes, 12 minutes of any of these World Cup matches. You know, it gets intense.
It's
frenetic. There's not so much thought about where I'm putting the ball. It's not, you know, I'm controlling it. Do I have a shot? Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to kick it all the way back to the goalie, my goalie. Let him reset it. There was less of that.
Although maybe there should be more of that if goalie for France is going to do what he did yesterday to give Croatia their second goal.
Exactly.
That was just laziness.
I was lazy.
Come on.
Yeah. You know what was funny, though, BT, when it happened? I was kind of like, that's all right. Doesn't matter.
It didn't.
Because it's 4-1 at that point.
Yeah,
it made it 4-2 at 4-1 at that point. Really matter. It didn't. But it was interesting and entertaining. And I think in a way that soccer doesn't always have. Maybe because of the intensity of the moment, the history behind I forget the coach's name now, but he played on the 98 team.
He's captain.
Yeah, he was captain on the 98 team, and now he's the first former player who won a World Cup to have been the manager of a World Cup team. So there was like different storylines. You know, the French, which, I mean, half the team is black or immigrants, and you know, a big percentage of them are Muslim as well. And you juxtapose that against the issues, race and immigration issues that go on in France for the last, you know, decade or so. It made for an interesting story as well as an interesting game as well. That's why I really enjoyed it.
And then it starts pouring just for, you know, a little extra theater as they get their awards. That was pretty good. I think this was the first tournament with the video assistant, right?
Video assistant replay.
I'm not going to deviate from my position, whether it's World Cup soccer finale or Major League Baseball on a play-at-home plate, or, you know, whether or not Dez Bryant made a play against the Packers, although that's actually, you know, that was kind of the impetus behind the change. But I'm a believer. I know a lot of people resist this because it's new in the World Cup here. It's the first time we've seen this. But if the goal is to get it right, use the video.
I had no problem with it.
It was a handball.
It was an utter handball.
No
you
question.
Saw the ball redirect straight down.
Yep.
Now, I think because in America, and by the way, as an aside note, the ratings were horrible in the United States. And a lot of that is because of...
Throughout, or are you talking about the finale?
I think throughout. I think most of it is because the United States wasn't there. You know, those who watched it intently and opined about it and tweeted about it and Instagrammed about it. But the ratings in a whole with Telemundo and on and Fox took a little bit of a bath. Now, part of that, though, is because the United States wasn't there and there wasn't familiarity with these teams. We just don't know these teams. And they, you know, you're just reading these stories about how, like, in Italy, even though Italy also didn't make it, there's such a huge soccer culture because of their club leagues, right? They're like, they're watching their players that play on the club, club league. So it's there was still interest where that doesn't exist in the United States. There's nobody that we could relate to, really, other than the stars that were made, you know, in this World Cup, like Mbappe, the kid from France, who's 19 years old.
He won the award, right, for the youngest. He was the one who won the youngest. What is it?
Youngest goal scorer. I think it was the first one since Pele, first teenager since Pele to score in a final. But you know, he scored the fourth goal. But there's those names that we came to learn. But other than that, we didn't know who we were watching, and so it's hard to get behind it. But to your point about the video assistant replay, we're used to it in the United States, right? We have it. We've had it in the NFL for a long time, right? Even baseball is starting to feel naturally a part of the game, even though it's only a few years old.
NBA's been going Green to the Bay monitor for a long time.
Forever. Hockey, same. So we're used to it. So when we see the VAR come out, we're like, heck yeah, bring that thing out. Because that was a handball, right? Yeah, get it right.
At least the ref sprinted, by the way.
Yeah,
He sprinted right to it. He sprinted right back.
He resisted for a while. He did. He was like, no, I'm not going to do it.
And then he went.
Yeah, he finally got it in his ear.
And no hood, by the way. I kind of like the no hood.
I do, too. So we get to see it just as well as you do. But I think in the United States, it's not a controversy. Overseas and really internationally, it is, because they're not used to it. They don't do this.
Get over it. It's here to stay.
I agree. it's great. I think it solved a lot of things throughout the course of the World Cup, and particularly in the final. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the mantra, you shouldn't have, you know, VAR, a brand new technology, determine the outcome of its first World Cup. But I say, why not?
Well, eventually it's going, if you're going to, you mean, so implement it in the early rounds, but don't have it in the final?
Yeah, no, it made no sense at all.
Whether you implement it now or the next World Cup or the one after that, there's going to be a first.
You're right.
And it will be controversial for some.
You're right.
You know, listen, if it wasn't a handball and it was ruled as one because they went to the video, now we have basically, in terms of the soccer world, the world would stop spinning. Hey, you got a real problem there. But it was the right call. It was the right call. Now, I don't know. I tweeted this out this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you came across this over the weekend.
I did.
You did. There was a great article in the New York Times on Saturday. Came across it Saturday. Had a rough night Friday night, so I didn't really get around to reading it until Sunday. And Joe Drape is the author of the article. It's in the Times. And he talks about how, I'll give you the exact headline, youth soccer participation has fallen significantly in America. Now, you and I have had this discussion before, maybe not directly to what we're going to get into now, but, you know, really how popular is soccer, some of the other sports, the major sports in our country, where does it rate against baseball? There's this thought that baseball has just precipitously fallen off the map. It's completely not true. But I want to read you a couple of lines here, and I want to get your first reaction, because you can interpret this much like anything, you know, with politics pertaining to polls. You can kind of twist and you can tweak and you can make it shape your narrative. But let's see if we can come out something interesting with this. They talk about, now I'm just going to read, it's bad enough the men's national team failed to qualify for this summer's World Cup. A fact the Federation was reminded of daily as the tournament in Russia dazzled global audiences on its way to crowning a new champion on Sunday. The real threat, however, and here's the meat of it, to its mission to make soccer one of America's preeminent sports here at home, where youth players are abandoning the game in alarming numbers. Over the past 3 years, the percentage of 6 to 12-year-olds playing soccer has dropped nearly 14%
to
2.3 million players. 6 to 12 is if you're not playing soccer by 12, not that you can't join late and become a star. Generally, soccer players, like golf, it's usually pretty early in life here. What do you think?
And lacrosse, where if you don't start really young and learn the stick skills and all the rule, it's hard to catch up because these other kids just get so good.
Do we have the numbers to predict? No, I think you could take an athlete.
Anecdotal. It's completely anecdotal because my kids were great athletes. AJ and Chasen are very good athletes. They didn't start doing lacrosse camps until they were about 11 years old. They went to one. Mm-hmm. All those other kids have been doing it since they were like six, and they're like throwing the ball behind their head and flipping it around, and they have all these amazing stick skills.
Yep.
My kids couldn't catch up. They knew they couldn't catch up, and so they that was the last time they played lacrosse. But
could have been Jim Brown if they would have stuck around.
Right? I think soccer is similar, but soccer feels like an easier sport because there's no equipment, right? It's just a soccer ball and your feet. My initial thought is, and I read this article, so I know where it's headed, is that soccer has become, I hate to admit it, but it's like a socioeconomic sport on some of these lower levels. Not because it costs a lot to play rec soccer, but nobody's playing rec soccer. Everybody's getting pushed into travel teams, right? Everybody's getting pushed into, do this summer camp that costs $200 or whatever it may be. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but in some places in this country, and for some families, that's a ton of money. Mm-hmm. That's put your kid in the soccer camp to play for the summer where you don't eat for a week.
It could represent your entire summer, extra spending.
Exactly.
Whether it's a small vacation, whether it's a couple of meals you might not do otherwise.
You're right. And so the recreational, let's go have fun, let's just do this and develop skills organically doesn't exist for a lot of these kids. And so they choose other things to do that you can do without organizing, learn, pick up skills and organize around. So it's interesting why these numbers have happened, because I would have thought, if you would have asked me what this article would have said, say I didn't have the headline, what this article would have said, I would have said, it would have said to me, soccer has been growing in the United States for the past.
Precisely.
That's what because every kid plays soccer, right? At least you'll see it with your kids, both of them, boys and girls. Yeah. Kids play soccer.
Trying to resist I don't think I'm going to win that one.
But you know what I mean? It's just
I won't win that one. They'll play for a couple
years. It's an easy sport.
Then daddy will pull the plug on them, play some real sports.
You don't need much skill at a very young age. Mm-hmm. You just got to be out there, know the philosophy, kick ball into net.
Yeah.
Right? And as soon as you learn how to play with your teammates, it gets fun. But I would have guessed it was completely opposite of that, not trending downward the other way.
I mean, it's 15% decline here. Now, the other part of the article, while baseball and it's a little misleading in the sense, baseball and basketball numbers have actually gone forward positively in terms of percentage. But in terms of sheer amount of people, that's declined as well. Now, listen, we've had, again, varying degrees of this conversation.
Yeah.
So we can, as we begin this and start to take calls and introduce some more items coming up next here on the show, we don't need to go back to the start of the... We understand that part of the reason why kids don't want to play soccer is that they can't play soccer is monetarily based.
Yep.
And part of the reason why kids don't want to play soccer is technologically based. I mean, that's already been long
that's
established.
That's a big part of it, though.
It's a huge part of it. So we planted seeds long ago on this topic here on the show. I don't know that we need to, be as rudimentary as we would have been a couple of years ago if we introduced this for the first time. But I'm very curious because you hit a very important point. The cross-section of callers that we'll get, 855-212-4227, for the most part, if you live in New York or New Jersey, $200 for the most part is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. It's just nothing. If you live in...
It's a commuter cost in New York.
That's true. And that's not even the whole thing. I mean, whether you're taking a ferry, bridges, that's generally not going to get you for a full month pass. You know that. If you live in, say, the Dakotas, or if you live in Wyoming, or if you live in certain parts of Texas, even where my wife is from, she's from Dallas, but other parts of the state of Texas, that $200 represents an incredible financial commitment. So there's all sorts of reasons, and I can't wait to get the different calls from the different states and get into it. And then I want to also incorporate some other things. I know you've got some stuff that we could extrapolate from the article, but it is interesting. Here we are, World Cup is done, middle of July. If you didn't know the meat of this story, I would have thought what you thought.
Yeah.
This is going to be a rosy 19-paragraph story on the rise of soccer. It's the exact opposite. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. Get your tweets, get your calls on a Monday. CBS Sports Radio.
Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer months. You know how that heat can just drain the life out of you? Well, imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. That's right, you heard me. It's free, and if it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney here on a Monday. CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. It's hot out there today, man.
Yeah, it is. Sticky.
It's hot and smelly in the city. Usually synonymous, 90, but it's hot. It's
92
smelly.
Degrees.
Oof.
It's
feels
already,
worse, though.
It does
Doesn't
feel
it?
Worse because it's so humid outside.
Yeah, it's sticky.
It's been that way for 2 weeks now.
Oh, boy. And one of the weeks we were in Puerto Rico, we heard that was miserable when I was away last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or I guess it was actually half of last week. I heard it was nasty in the city, right?
It was. You know me, I'll run in anything.
Yeah.
I didn't run.
Taking a little time off?
I just can't.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I try to go in the morning and the sun is up, but as soon as the sun's up, it's hot.
It's hot. It's hot here. I think one of the issues here, you know, actually before I get into that, let me take the poll question here. Tiki and Tierney, just put this up, and here it is. So according to an article in the Times over the weekend, youth players are abandoning soccer in alarming numbers. In terms of participation, soccer has reached its apex in the United States, or you believe growth and prosperity is imminent. Three options. Yes, soccer will rise. No, popularity is overstated. C, still not sure. You know, the one thing that I am sure about, although I haven't seen it firsthand, I haven't, and I'm still a couple of years away from this, and I know it's going to be a challenge for me, but all my buddies who have kids who are older, both boys and girls, said, just wait, because they know how I am. Just wait until you deal with some of these knucklehead parents.
Yeah.
And it's coming.
Yeah.
And you've told me about this as well.
And you'll see it at,
I know.
At age four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
I'm telling you, these mom and dads are like screaming like, this is the World Cup.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, they're just learning.
They don't
even know what goal they're going to right now.
Calm down. And to me, there's really, I think one of the issues is that there's not a whole lot of in between when it comes to parenting right now. See, to me, there's, and if you think I'm wrong, if somebody's got to check me on this, by all means, go for it. To me, the parents either completely disengaged. And sadly, we all know those people.
Mm-hmm.
Think about when you were playing, your mom was there, obviously. When you were around, they were playing ball growing up, and obviously me playing ball. I could, not that you would know these people, but I could write down the names of the dads who were always at the games.
Oh, yeah.
You just knew which dads were coming and moms and which ones weren't.
You're right.
Now, some couldn't go there because they had to work. Some didn't go because they didn't play ball growing up. Some just did. Some were alcoholic. Some didn't care. Whatever.
Yeah.
You got a multitude of reasons. Now, the other hand, and this is a problem as well, you have parents who are overly engaged for the wrong reasons, either living vicariously through his or her, you know, daughter, and you know, trying to kind of fill the void of their athletic failures as a kid, or they use it solely as you know, to propel them to close the monetary gap, either through college or to hit the pro level. You said in a long time, and I need you to say this now. Tell the story. It's not even really a story, but it's kind of it represents the athletic meter for childhood.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it away, but this
was Chris Collinsworth. Gets asked this because Chris Collinsworth obviously was great, NFL great for the Bengals, and has subsequently gone into broadcasting. So he's a touch point for a lot of people around sport. And he had kids who were really good athletes. I think one of them ended up playing college football. One of the schools out on the West Coast, so either USC or UCLA. I can't remember which one he went to. But he was always asked by other parents, you know, hey, Chris, you think my kid's got a chance? Hey, Chris, you saw Johnny? You know, look how big he is. He's got a chance. And Chris had this perfect response, and it resonated with me because I remember this, right? He said to any of these parents that would ask him, simple answer, are the other parents complaining that they have to play against your kid? If the answer is no, he probably doesn't have a chance. Now, it's funny because now a lot of things can derail that.
No question.
I always tell this story also. I don't know if I've told it on this hour. But when I was in, not high school, but.
Grammar school?
It wasn't grammar school. So it was like Little League football.
Like Pee Wee's.
Yeah, like Pee Wee League.
Yeah, like
that's the word I was thinking of.
Something like that?
Pee Wee football.
Okay.
Right? And so We played this team, the Williamson Road Browns,
and they had. I still remember the names. That had to be good.
Timmy Basham was his name. This kid was enormous.
Okay,
enormous. Like we're all like little growing. I don't know, 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
This kid is like 6'1", built like Brandon Jacobs. At least that's what it felt like to us, and was just a masher.
What position?
He was a running back.
Gotcha.
And so we couldn't tackle him, and so. Like we complained about playing against that kid.
Yep.
Now his it got derailed because of other things off the football gridiron stuff. But I remember that. Like that kid's gonna make it, man.
Mm-hmm.
That kid's gonna be a star. It's because he was so much bigger. But life and I guess the physics of growing up often catch up to people sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There's certain things that have to be in place, but then there's other things that you're just God given, you know what I mean?
It's crazy how it works. And obviously there's unique situations. I remember there were two kids, Grant, I actually did something on Facebook and on my own personal page and just to reach out to the parents out there doing some research for our show today. I thought parents would appreciate it. There were two kids that I grew up with in Brooklyn. And it's amazing when you think about this. Like, and my dad coached both of them at lower levels, baseball. And I thought for sure that both of these kids were going to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
They play different. They look different in the uniform. They just walked around differently. They were stronger. They were fast.
Yeah,
they were better than everybody.
I know exactly what you mean.
One kid made AAA. I've referenced him on the show before. My buddy Chad, who played at Seton Hall. Arm injury, never made it. Might have if he didn't. My other buddy Danny, who was equally good at basketball, white kid, had some I love him. If he's watching, I hope he didn't take it the wrong way. Had some academic issues, kind of derailed some of his own things himself. Never really fully committed to baseball. I thought if he did, he probably would have made the pros as a catcher. I've always thought that. We talk about it to this day. Neither made it. One of the kids, the only kid who did make it from the neighborhood, he was good. He just wound up growing a 6'5", a lefty pitcher, and he played about 8-9 years in the bigs.
Yeah, it's God-given.
Nobody thought he would make it.
Of course.
He never once said, that kid's going to the majors.
Yeah.
Carved out almost 10 years. So you really don't know.
No, you're right.
But it's sobering when you look at the numbers, how few kids make it. Forget about to the pros. To get a Division I scholarship.
Right.
It's almost, and by I don't the way, want to use the word unattainable, but based on the numbers, it almost is.
You're right. And by the way, that is making it. If you save your mom and dad, whatever it is, $30,000 to $40,000
30 to 40?
I mean, it could 30? Be, it's like 50 these days. You know what I mean?
30.
Significant amounts of money to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
That's making it. So you're right, to your point. It's not just getting to the NFL or the NBA or MLB. It's getting a chance to further your education for free.
Yep.
Right. That's extremely valuable in this country. It's interesting though because soccer is a way to do it. Right.
Is it though? Are they making enough money? No, lure the great athletes.
Not professionally.
That's a problem.
But I'm talking about going to school.
Yeah.
Right? Like if getting a soccer scholarship, if you're that great athlete, the kid that you're talking about who wouldn't have made it, ultimately he did, but you know what I mean? He's not going to make it because he's not good enough at baseball, but he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
If he had chose soccer, maybe, you know, and so but it's hard to think that way because you always want to think, I want to make this a career, right? If I'm going to do this and I'm going to put all these hours into it, I want to make it a career. And the soccer career in the United States doesn't feel available. And it's funny because it's somewhat of a catch-22, right? The reason that I wanted to be a football player is because I grew up idolizing Walter Payton, right? I wanted to be exactly like Walter Payton, right? Same thing with you.
With Mattingly.
With Mattingly. You know that? You played baseball. I want to be Donnie
Baseball. I tried to hit like him, which is why I got worse as I got older. I tried to do that. I tried to do his stance.
You're right.
Should have done my stance. Right. They got me to that point.
But here's the catch-22. Like, there's no – who's that soccer player? Or choices of American soccer players. I mean, there's Landon Donovan, who we all know. I mean, Kobe Jones, maybe, if you want to throw that name in there. But there's not a long list of Americans that you say, that's exactly who I want to be like, right? And the fact that the person doesn't exist, meaning kids don't – there's no one to idolize unless it's an international player. But that's – I mean, it's increasingly being shown in the States, but we don't show international soccer that much.
No.
I mean, FS1 does a little bit. They put a big bet in that. NBC has gotten a little bit bigger in it, but it's not mainstreamed yet. And even if it is, there's no Americans. And so without that –
it's a problem, T.
Kids aren't going to want to be American star soccer players. And so it's a – you see why it ultimately comes to the conclusion of this article that we're talking about, the 14-15% decline in youth soccer in this country – and I wonder if it's correctable or if it's on a path especially because we missed the World Cup this year, that could be irreversible.
Oh, jeez.
I'm serious.
That's promising.
Seriously, it already wasn't.
I know.
Like one of
and
the
now we're hosting it.
Yes.
You know?
Well, maybe, that, helps. Maybe, that, maybe that helps.
Well, maybe it helps, but I mean, it's not going to accelerate player development, is it?
No.
I mean,
no.
It's not going to, it's not, I mean, it might matter for several World Cups down the road.
Yeah.
Hopefully the enthusiasm would kind of permeate. All right, pick any sport. Just to print, we'll get to the update, get to inbounds, out of bounds, get some calls
like
as well.
Like an American sport?
Any sport you want that you can play in college. Could be individually.
I was going to throw you a loop.
Don't throw something.
I was going to say cricket.
Just go along with the game, will you?
Cricket.
What?
I was going to say cricket.
Cricket.
Just, rugby. Rugby.
Rugby is not on this list, although
right,
rugby is
so,
more and more
so
prominent.
So pick rowing.
I don't see crew on here either.
Come on. To
pick something just a little more common, buddy. Make it easy for me, will you?
Okay, how about baseball?
Okay, there we go. I mean, you didn't have to pick baseball, but
I know.
You finally picked baseball, all right? In 2017, this is really interesting. This is based on the probability of competing beyond the figures of high school and methodology. It's actually a full-scale report governed by
beyond
the
NCAA. High school.
Beyond high school.
Competing beyond high school.
Correct.
Okay.
Baseball in 2017 had 500,000 high school participants. I roughly, you know, so it's, I'm not throwing like 718.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I kind of rounded up to make it easy on the years. 500,000 played high school baseball. Keep in mind, a lot of those, like the Dakotas, mm-hmm. they don't have baseball mm-hmm. because it's too cold. So
right.
500,000, that's the number. Of the 500,000 encompassing D1, D2, D3, and NAIA and JUCO, how many of the 500,000 do you think played a level of college?
A level of college.
Yep.
I'm
going to
say...
Not a percentage, an actual number.
210,000.
34,000.
Get out of
yeah,
here.
I'm looking at it right now. Of the 34,000, all right, what percentage do you think played, not got a full ride or got money,
yeah.
played D1 baseball? Of the 500,000.
I'm going to say 10.
2.1%.
Wow.
And you go to any diamond or you go to any basketball court, hoop's a little different for sure. You go to a football field, and you've got these rabid parents who think that their son or daughter in their team sports, where there's options to play mm-hmm. professionally, and they're obviously growing, which is great. You got to get a reality check.
Yeah.
Just go and look at this. I'll tweet this out for you.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, the numbers stare at you in the face.
Yeah, the numbers are sobering.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
Make All sure right, your kid's smart.
Exactly. That's why.
Get an academic scholarship.
That you cannot compromise.
Right.
If they can read, if they can write, if they can, if they're critical thinkers, there you go. That's how you find your way in the world. If you can throw a ball 90 or bend a soccer ball or, you know, rip a slap shot from the second line. Second line, first line. You know, hit a 7-iron, you know, within 5 feet of a flag for 180. Good for you. Most people can. All right, 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, soccer experiences, reacting to the poll question, the conversation we're engaged in now. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Cal Ripken, hour number two. Jay Berman's update is right now. All righty, Tiki and Tierney back on a Monday here. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a sec. We'll get some calls, see what you're thinking about the soccer conversation and its growth, which has largely been overstated based on that New York Times article that Tiki and I have been diving into. Right now, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's how you do it. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. That is at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Listen later on as we get around to the best one before we leave, and it could be yours. So if it's interesting, better chance we'll get to it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Inbounds, out of bounds in a sec here. We'll do some NFL franchise tag stuff coming up at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. Cal Ripken at 4:40 Eastern, 1:40 Pacific. And at the top of the third hour here, our three most intriguing storylines, MLB, as we get ready for the second half of the season. So we've got those lined up, got some good stuff. Rusty is in Montana, and Rusty is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Rusty, what's up, buddy?
Hi, guys. How you doing, BT?
Hey, Rusty, our good pal.
What's happening, Rusty?
How you guys doing?
We're good,
doing
man.
Well.
What do you think about the soccer situation in the United States?
Well, you see, like in Montana here, it's just predominantly a female sport. And and the soccer fields are packed. But like when you get older and you start getting into high school and stuff,
yeah.
A lot of times if your parents don't have a lot of money the way they like to donate to the school, you know, they kind of get pushed out.
Hmm.
They kind of push these guys out, and even if they are really talented.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, if the if you could buy your way onto a roster and talent's not even rewarded.
Yeah.
I mean, no wonder why nobody's good coming out of the state of Montana.
I gotta tell you, another
Rusty.
Appreciate your call,
you know
Rusty.
I mean?
Another part of that article, BT, and I know you saw this, is it talks about the travel of teams. Now, USA Soccer has not done a great job of promoting the game to minorities and also the travel teams that are around, even though they offer financial aid, that are around certain cities or municipalities, they haven't been great to minorities either, whether they be blacks or Hispanics or whatever minorities are there. And as a result, it doesn't feel like an option, right, to a lot of these families. They know they don't have the money to pay for travel sports. And two, they're not being marketed to, or the idea that there can be financial aid hasn't been given to them. And again, this is all in this article. You should read it in the New York Times if you're interested about the state of soccer in the United States. And so it never materialized. It never becomes like an option in their brain.
Central option.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so they end up doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then they never get back to it. So it's like you said, once you hit 12 or 13, you're probably not thinking, I'm going to pick up soccer and be great at it.
I think soccer, this is going to sound, I don't mean it to sound this way. Soccer is like the diaper for a baby. Soccer gets you through a tough period as a parent. I mean, like soccer, every little kid tends to play soccer.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny.
Yeah,
all
like
right, Michelle,
like a stepping stone to other athletic endeavors.
Exactly. Right. And before you can go without diapers, you have to wear diapers.
But
before you can play other sports,
I got to tell you that
generally soccer is a nice introduction.
The irony there is that soccer is probably one of the most intense of all of them. Right, because there's no pads.
Mm-hmm.
You're running constantly.
Yeah,
you're exhausted. You're in great shape, obviously, and it's not for the lazy. If you're lazy, you're not playing soccer.
Absolutely true.
And so
and even if you're not lazy, but you're just not inherently athletic.
Yeah,
you could be a grinder.
You're right.
And you could want to go hard, but if you can't move, you can't play.
Yeah, there's no position.
You can't hide.
You can't hide.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
You cannot hide in soccer.
Right.
And that's we got to get back to that. We may have just stumbled onto something that maybe gives us even more clarity as to what's happening with soccer in our country.
You're right.
Inbounds, out of bounds. Tiki, ready?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Tiki, here we go. The Jaguars first over the NFL. They give Blake Bortles a 3-year extension, guarantees him $26 million over the next 2 years, rather than $19 million this year alone. So, Bortles suggested that he agreed to the deal to help the Jaguars build a stronger team around them, citing, I know it's comical here, and Blake Bortles' name in the same sentence as Tom Brady, but he did cite Brady's contracts with the Pats. Quote, the way Tom's done it is the way he tried to model it. When you take up a lot of money, you kind of limit your team. Okay, end quote. In or out, quarterbacks who do not accept lesser deals in order to free up cap space are selfish.
That's out of bounds, man. Some of these guys are just trying to get paid for the first time, and especially if you fully understand the cap situation, you can make a lot of money and not hamper your team. It's guys who have been there for a while or are overpaid who are, like Tom Brady, and in this case, probably like Blake Bortles, who was making $19 million, and he's certainly not worth that. So he's overpaid in a sense, and they have so much talent and depth on that roster, they need more money. It was smart for him to do it, and it's smart for Tom Brady to do it. But for other guys who are just getting in and getting their first, crack at the almighty dollar, by all means, go do it.
Get paid. Get paid. Fill up that pocket. I'll fill up that pocket. I'm with you. Out of bounds, I think a little bit of a different, the league, and you kind of hint on this, and you're right, the league set up overwhelmingly to favor the team rather than the player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to get to this coming up next hour with the four franchise ease, by the way.
Yeah.
0-4.
0-4.
0-4. So we'll certainly get to that. But you got to get paid when you can, because they will throw you in the trash as soon as possible. It is what it is. And I stumbled upon this over the weekend. No quarterback taking up at least 15% or more of the salary cap since 2000
has won a
Super Bowl. So there's reasons, there's reasons why you need to get paid, but there's also deterrence in paying a quarterback too much. So it's interesting. I wish Blake Bortles was a little bit better, and you know, for him to come out and take this position. And I mean, I would feel better if it was like somebody like Alex Smith. It's just odd coming from Bortles, who was terrible for the most part. But I'm with you. Out of bounds on this, Deke.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Over the weekend, a video from May emerged. Sun star Devin Booker getting into a scrap with his best buddy. Not against him, but his former teammate Tyler Ulis started brawling. And other people, this happened in an elevator. A couple of weeks later, the Suns released Ulis and reported Booker was upset at the move but still signed a deal with Phoenix. He's 21 years old. He pumped in 25 points a game last year, the 10th most in the NBA. In or out, Devin Booker, this is a good question, will be a top 15 player in the NBA, let's say, the next 3 years.
This is such a hard one. I'm going to say out of bounds because I feel like there's so many other guys. Like,
shame on you.
Think about this. Devin Booker is really good player, but James Harden's still going to be in the game then, right? So is Anthony Davis. Yep. Maybe LeBron. Probably not. But Antetokounmpo, KD, Kyrie, Victor Oladipo, Joel Embiid. I'm just going through the list, right?
That's kind of what I was doing, too.
You look at a Kemba Walker now. He's now in Charlotte, but he's a good player.
Stop, Kemba Walker.
But you know
Walker,
what I mean. But here's the thing. If other guys or some of these younger players, those were just the guys that played last year.
Yeah.
Right? Like other ones that are just getting drafted.
Yeah, what if DeAndre Ayton
or Bagley or whoever? It's hard for me to say definitively Devin Booker, and I love the kid.
I love him.
It's hard for me to say definitively he's going to be a top 15 player.
So therefore you say out of bounds.
So therefore
you can't
I say out of bounds.
Commit.
Exactly.
It's not
transcendent in my mind.
I got you.
This kid is better than anybody else. You know what I mean?
I think if he didn't play for the Suns, say if he played for...
And maybe that's part of it.
Maybe. I've stayed up just to watch this kid, and the Suns have been garbage for a couple of years. I love him. This is easy. Inbounds. Now, first of all, I say inbounds based on the growth I expect him to have. He's never played with a big man. You know, he's going to do that with eight now.
Yep.
I like the style that the new coach is going to deploy there. He's an elite shooter, so he's got a skill that's transferable for every level.
No doubt.
And he's a good athlete, and he doesn't have a muscle on him. He barely shaves. He's going to grow.
Yep. And more importantly, he didn't take any shots in that video. Didn't throw a punch.
Smart. If I was in a fight, I would hope my best friend would throw a punch. Is that a good thing or a bad
thing? It's a good thing because he knew he was going to get in trouble.
I hear you.
I'm telling you, man.
So he's got high character.
No, he's an idiot because he put his mask over his face like nobody's going to know who he was. He put a hoodie up, but he didn't throw a punch.
It's funny how somebody that young reacts to a situation because they are already like at our age. We would think of that eventually. Maybe not the first thing.
Yeah, you're right.
But when you're 22, you grow up, that's all you know. Mask or shield yourself. It's crazy. He's a superstar in the making. Inbounds, easy call for me.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, the Cardinals fired Mike Matheny this weekend after the team started 47-46. And rumors have been swirling. It seems like it's been pretty messy in St. Louis for a while. Some locker room discontent. Pretty nice record, nearly 600 wins and below 500 losses in over six seasons. He won 100 games back in 2015, and he had a World Series appearance back in 2013. In or out, the Cardinals should have let Matheny finish out the season before firing
him. Yeah, I wanted to justify this, or justify him staying and be in bounds, but I got to say out of bounds here. After the two straight years of subpar, and as BT mentioned, locker room issues, it's time to go in a different direction. The Cardinals have a history of being excellent. As soon as you know, one season out of that, you get excused for two and now a half. It's time to go.
Yes, certain franchises are proactive. They are assertive, unlike, you know, a team we see every day here, like the Mets, who just hope for something to change without ever doing anything to change it. I'm not saying Callaway should be fired now, but the point is that certain organizations have that winning DNA, and the Cardinals are among them. So when they do something, I'm going to generally trust their instincts. And keep in mind, we talk about baseball at the length of the season. If there truly is discord in that locker room, for a 7:15 game, you show up at 3:30, you stretch, you take BP, you do infield, outfield, you're in your hitting group with your hitting coach, you study film of pitchers, you're there all day.
Yeah.
You travel all the time. You play 162 games. If you're not feeling each other, you got to change the skipper.
Agreed.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so how about this one? After a video, remember this, back in 2015, the legendary Hulk Hogan using racially insensitive words, the WWE suspended him, obviously, for 3 years now. However, Yesterday, the WWE announced that they have reinstated Hulk into the Hall of Fame, where he's considered to be one of the greatest, certainly in terms of monetizing the sport. No, he was on SI in 83 or 84. Nobody did that. I mean, Bruno never did that. And Bruno Sammartino, or Gorgeous George, obviously very popular. In or out, Hall of Famers across all sports should consider out-of-sport issues when deciding who is in and who is not.
Yeah, this is an interesting question. I said out of bounds here because I think that we celebrate guys in their sports for what they did during their sporting time.
Yep.
With Hulk, it was different. Now, if there is an overlap, like a guy gets arrested in the middle of his NFL career and is on pace to be a Hall of Famer, that's one thing. But this was so far past his impact on the sport, I'm saying out of bounds.
I got to say inbounds, though. Even if it's 50 years past it, you know, there's residual impact from that. And I thought they did the right thing suspending Hulk. I also think, really, for 30 years as a public figure, he's generally done the right thing. Now, you say, well, he was that. Maybe that's what he really believes when it's on private film. I don't know. But I would need to know the context of any sort of indiscretion and just how contrite the person is.
Yeah.
And if it's not an egregious crime, you know, against kids or a murder, God forbid, and they're contrite and they really want to, you know, they kind of get back in the good graces, I'm cool with that. Let's say inbounds here. All right, Teak. Not inbounds if you're looking to get paid in the NFL. 0 for 1, 0 for 2, 0 for 3, 0 for 4. Crazy as the franchisees not getting what they want. And we'll get to that cut up. Cal Ripken, hour number 2 as well. Teak and Tierney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.